Welcome to Everyday Relationships from Focus on the Family with Dr. Greg Smalley and Susie Larson.
Welcome to today's show. We're thrilled that you are with us. We are here every day to help you live out the greatest commandment, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love others as you love yourself. Well, I'm Dr. Greg Smalley, joined by author and speaker Susie Larson. The day after Christmas, Susie, did you have a good Christmas?
Had a fabulous Christmas. How about you?
Well, I'm still waiting for my Christmas present from you.
Oh.
Because that would probably put me over the top then for having a great Christmas.
It's in the mail.
It's in the mail.
And how about my present from you?
You didn't get that?
Right.
Wow.
Okie dokie then.
Someone is getting a strongly worded letter from the post office. You know, today we are, as we're celebrating the day after Christmas, we're going to talk about a pretty serious issue, which I'm thrilled that we are actually going to get into this. And, you know, because tell you what, most happy couples, you know, they walk down the aisle with every belief, with every intention of going the distance, celebrating forever. But then, you know, somewhere down the road, things go south and, you know, they find themselves at a crossroads. Do we admit defeat? You know, do we continue to hang in there and kind of painfully limp along? Well, today we're going to be talking about a trip to the ER for marriages in crisis. And so if your marriage is on life support, you know, we're hoping that you can take away some information that'll really to help you guys as you are in that fight for your marriage.
Yeah, we really are praying this is a turning point for you if you need it today. So we've got a very special guest in studio. Let me tell you about him, Michael Smalley. His passion is for teaching couples the principles of loving well and for a lifetime. He's a nationally known marriage builder and the founder of a two-day marriage intensive called ER for Love. Michael has written several books, including The Surprising Way to a Stronger Marriage. His greatest achievement, though, is surviving childhood as Dr. Greg Smalley's younger brother.
That is the true Susie.
Congratulations,
Michael. She's my new best friend.
Michael, you defend me. I was a good big brother.
Actually, he really was a very good big brother.
Oh, that's so sweet. I believe it.
Although, except for the time that, remember I...
You hid under my bed dressed as Freddy Krueger. I'm a 40-year-old man. I still have to check under my bed in hotels, in my own house. You know what? Why would you bring that up? I need to excuse myself.
So other than that moment, I thought I was a pretty good big brother.
Or the time you jumped out of the closet in the hotel room and made me pass out.
Was that last weekend or that was when you were kids? Okay. Anyway.
You know, as a big brother, though, I am so proud of the work that you're doing within Marriage Intensive. It's really helping couples stay together. And you have this two-day marriage intensive that, by the way, I know you just had some new research come back that what about 88% of the couples that go through that are still together. That's
they
a big
are.
Deal, man. That is something to be proud of.
Well, and you know that's a big part of your legacy as well, as we worked on that when we were all living together in Branson, Missouri, and a whole team of people. But
so what you're saying is that taught you everything you know?
I think
Susie, is that what you heard?
I think more it was I've overcome you.
I'm
that made me a stronger person.
Well, it doesn't kill you. It makes you stronger.
That's
so
true.
Well, maybe talk about how couples kind of go from that moment they're at the altar, they're envisioning their life together, they're going to celebrate forever. How do they go from that kind of happy, great season to, boy, this is done, we're finished, and can't keep going on?
Well, I'll tell you this much. It's certainly not because they married the wrong person or they're just not compatible or they made a mistake. That's not the reason.
Right?
Everyone comes in going, I made a mistake. I married the wrong person. It's like, no, because the problem with that belief is actually the truth is you are the wrong person. Hmm. So I have enough of my own issues and problems. I'm never going to be innocent, really.
I didn't want to bring them up on live radio.
Let's not. But and so what happens then is people get into trouble because they don't know how to handle conflict. Hmm. Right? So marriage is easy. When you feel loved and everything's exciting and you're engaged, right? And, well, that should be easy. And frankly, I'll tell engaged couples, if there's a ton of conflict, I'm thinking, what are you doing? Because it only gets harder from here,
folks. How do
they
respond to you when you say that?
They tend to not like that very much.
They don't come back for that second session,
they don't.
Oddly enough.
But it's true, though.
Yeah.
But the reality is if you've gotten in trouble, it's because you haven't had the skill set to resolve the hurt and the conflict in your relationship. And so that's why our intensive program where you can save your marriage in 2 days is we're in over 10 different cities and growing pretty rapidly. And what happens is that the reason we can do this over a 2 day period, so you come from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. with someone that we've trained. And the reason it works is because it's not counseling. So counseling, traditional counseling, 1 hour a week with a couple is difficult because you don't get enough time and there's so much hurt feelings and there's so much intensity that can be a very frustrating process. And what's sad is the average couple will only go to 2 sessions of counseling. So they'll give it 2 hours and then give up on the relationship. And so what's great about an intensive and this 2 day model is that you go 9 to 5, 2 days in a row. That's basically with an hour lunch break. You're looking at 14 hours to learn. And so we always tell people this isn't counseling, it's marriage education, because your problem is that you don't know how to resolve the conflict. And guess what? We will literally teach you the skills. Like our core skill is Love Talk, and L-O-V-E. We'll spell that out throughout the show today. But
that's how you spell that.
L-O-V-E. Oh. Well, you know, in the DNA of relationships, we used to spell it L-U-V, which was very inferior and incomplete. And so
something that you said, I'm hearing you. It's not that you're saying that traditional counseling doesn't work.
No.
That's the wrong way to do it. What I hear you saying is that, boy, what's hard is if you're only getting that 1 hour a week, but that really the ER, you know, for marriage, these intensives that you do, it gives you plenty of times. It gives you many, many hours to be with that couple to unpack all that. And then I know when you're done with that, then you send them back to their counselors to keep going.
They
but for those couples who are in dire straits in that crisis, boy, they need that extended,
you know,
those extended hours.
And Greg, what's really interesting is one of our biggest referral sources to our intensive program are therapist.
Absolutely.
Because they feel like they're stuck and they're frustrated, and they know that it's almost like you can look at these this Save Your Marriage in 2 days program as like a booster shot. It's like it's like you've taken, you know, the right kind of I'm not a medical doctor, so I'm blanking on the kind of medicine you would take
for
sickness.
Schizophrenia?
No.
Antibiotic?
Thorazine. Antibiotic, thank you.
Susie's
it's like
so
getting,
wise.
Susie's so smart. So it's like getting this massive dose of antibiotic that gets you back on the right track. And then you're right. Couples go back to their hometown and they continue working, especially on individual things. But Greg, I'll tell you though, genuinely, the most important thing that couples have to understand, there's hope. The reason you are in trouble is because you don't know how to get out of trouble. And I'll tell a lot of people at the beginning of an intensive, I'll tell them to go, you need to look at me like your marriage consultant, because that's truly how I feel like I am. And this
I look
is how,
at you as a brother.
I know. That makes sense, actually. I'm impressed. But what happens is our job in this program is to help identify what is broken. And then we'll give you the skills to fix it. And that's
what you're going to go to the root cause.
100%. The root cause. And so what they'll do is the couples will give us 3 or 4 of the major issues that have brought them down. And then what we do for the rest of the time is utilizing the skills that we've proven to work over years. I don't remember when we wrote the DNA of relationships, but over years they've proven to work these skills. We apply these skills to your specific issues. And so by the end of the day, you know, Greg, over the last year, we had a 99% referral rate from couples who came through the intensive program. 99% of them said we would recommend this to someone hurting or to a friend in need. And I'll tell you, that was one person over the last calendar year, just one person who said I wouldn't recommend it.
Hey, I apologize
you know
for
what?
Saying that.
I
so
was deeply offended.
He brings it up, Susie, every time.
Well, that
he's
hurts.
Jealous, Susie.
I'm just curious, how often do you have, or what percentage of the time would you say that the couple comes in but only one of them's engaged? You know, where the other's disengaged and, like, doesn't want to be there.
There's a hardened heart.
Sure. I'd say the majority of the time.
Wow, really?
Somebody's disconnected. Somebody's disengaged. And that's what's really fun. And that's why these professional therapists that we're now training to do our program, that's why they love it, because it's so hard to get somebody unstuck in just an hour. It's just hard. And obviously people can do that, but when it's in a marriage, there's so many dynamics going on. So when they sit in their first intensive with me or my wife, And as a part of their training, they are blown away by lunch, because in just 3 or 4 hours, you have massive amount of movement, and then you get the rest of the time to continue putting them back together.
Mm. Well, first of all, the key is that hope you're talking about, that there is hope. It doesn't matter what's going on in your marriage. It doesn't matter where things are at now. That God can do amazing miracles. And Michael, I love hearing the stories as you talk about these couples who've been restored. And we're going to keep talking about actually then how you do that.
Yeah, and if you take away one thing today, it's this: there's always hope. So here's our question for you. What's your best tip for keeping a strong sense of trust in your marriage? What's your best tip for keeping a strong sense of trust in your marriage? Chime in on Facebook. That's Everyday Relationships Radio. And when we come back, we'll talk about learning to manage and grow from the disagreements that happen in your marriage. Michael Smalley's in studio with us, and we will be right back. Everyday Relationships. I'm Susie Larson with Dr. Greg Smalley and his brother, counselor and marriage builder, Michael Smalley. And we're talking today about marriages in crisis. We're taking them to the ER this hour, and Michael Smalley's offering some real healing advice. And so, Michael, here's a question. What's going on under the surface for a couple who's in perpetual crisis?
Well, that's an easy one. If you're stuck in perpetual crisis, what we tend to call that in our intensive program is we just call it the dance, and everyone relates to that pretty quickly, because it feels like we keep going.
You're not going to dance.
Not a good dance. It's more like a mosh pit dance. No, it's the cycle, right? It's the cycle of dysfunction where you keep reacting to negative events in your relationship, and it's your reactions that keep it going in a negative cycle. And so these couples come and they're heartbroken and they're stressed out and they're hopeless and they think this will never get better. And I'm telling you, within hours, they're hearing about this dance and they're looking, going, wait a minute. And they suddenly discover that you're telling me that my reaction has kept this negative cycle going. And it's like, yeah. And so what we do then for the rest of the intensive is we teach them, here's how you can react better when things get negative in your relationship. So whether it's your husband or wife is a workaholic and they're never home enough, hey, even if your spouse has an affair, right? An affair is like one of the kind of worst things, I guess, that people feel like you can do in a marriage. Even in that affair, there is a very specific dance going on. And once you see what that dance is, and it's so simple and it's so straightforward, but once you see what that is and you start learning how to react differently, like, for example, utilizing love talk, then when you change your reactions, you change the relationship.
So before we jump into kind of unpacking the conflict and maybe what's going wrong and then how to do that differently, better, that's a pretty powerful statement that you're mm-hmm. making. I mean, when we ask what's really going on, why are these couples in crisis, for you to say it's how they manage conflict, because typically I think for so many people, you know, they're gonna blame infidelity, they're gonna blame financial problems, they're gonna blame we never see each other, feel like roommates,
lazy, never helping out around the house.
Make that case again. Why is the inability to manage conflict, why is that for you the thing?
Well, let's think about it. Let's take that you don't ever help out around the house, right? Maybe that becomes their huge issue.
I actually don't ever help out around your house.
I know you don't actually. We'll talk about that next segment. But you take that. What people have to learn, okay, is when you stay on the facts, which the facts of that are, you don't help around the house.
Right, and then I think, what are you talking about?
I do this, I do that. Yeah, exactly. Well, that is the shallowest level of conversation you can possibly have. And what we try to teach people, and what you listening, what you can learn right now, instantly, listening to this very show, is that when you get upset, so when you're angry or frustrated or irritated because he or she is not helping around the house, you have to start stopping yourself and go, wait a minute, why does this bother me? Now we're getting deeper. And then what that allows you to do is, instead of talking about you never help around the house, I'll start talking about, look, I think I'm feeling lonely here. I think that's feeling unfair. It's feeling unjustified. I'm feeling ignored. I know my wife, especially like in our finances, my wife kept telling me in the first 6 months of our marriage, please, when you get money out of the ATM machine, please bring me that receipt because I can't balance our checkbook properly.
You're supposed to balance them?
I didn't even know what that word meant. I kept balancing
He's changed
on
my life right here.
I know. I kept balancing on chairs and tables, and that's not what she meant. And so she would tell me, bring the receipt. And guess what? Over and over again, I would forget the receipt. Well, early on, that's what we argued about, my inability to remember a receipt.
That
it
was
wasn't about that. For her, when we finally understood this concept, she was able to share with me, you know, honestly, I think for me what happens when I can't balance the checkbook, I feel like a massive, epic failure. Hmm. I was like, oh, I mean, I had no idea. And so now it became about her feeling like a failure, which as a husband, I'm thinking, I don't want you to feel like a failure. So up until this point, I'm telling you, if you stick to the facts, remember the receipts. We used to get in the most vicious arguments because she'd say, you know, she actually said this once, a monkey could remember to bring these receipts back. And I thought that always went a little over the top.
But I was thinking ape. Hey, monkey works too, I suppose.
My response back would always be, there are starving children in Africa. There are worse things in the world happening than me not remembering
so
your stinking receipts.
Her
I'd minimize it.
Feelings.
Absolutely. Okay. But all
that
of a sudden.
That worked out well.
No, it did not get me a lot of cuddling. I'll admit that.
She put you in a cage like a chimp.
She did put me in. That's actually. I did have a leash. I never quite understood that.
But what you're talking about, let's call it emotional intelligence, just
sure.
for the sake. You're saying that don't pay attention to the topic, the receipts. In this case, you got to dig deeper. So as an individual, I need to go, okay, something is driving my frustration yeah. towards my spouse.
Why am I upset right now?
So the why, but that's an insightful thing that you're talking mm-hmm. high level of awareness. Why is that hard for people to do that?
Actually, and Greg, I would argue with you, that is not a high level thing to do. The reason people don't do it straight up is because we never learned that we need to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that. Growing up in school, what did you learn ever about communication with people and resolving conflict? We're never taught how to do that in school.
My parents taught me nothing.
Our parents were basically worthless.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're here in the audience,
I
know. By the way, listening in. So we are saying that to tease them.
The listeners don't know that, yes.
My mom just threw her purse and walked out.
Yes, way to go, Norma.
We'll have to resolve that.
You need awareness, Ma. Right?
Hey, we'll love talk that later.
So you're saying that we were just never taught.
It's not hard. I don't know. And that's what's so fun about these two-day intensives is all of a sudden, for the first time, people are like, the light bulb goes on, and they think, how did I not know this before? Well, it's because we haven't been teaching this growing up, and so we're just
– So it's not about blaming our parents.
No.
It's not about blaming, well, you know, we didn't,
no
one
know
ever
either.
Taught us. So you're saying that we need – so instead of reacting to each other – when I'm frustrated, when I'm hurt, when something's going on between us, you're saying that I first have to figure out what's kind of driving this for me. How do we begin to do this?
Let me give you even a real life example. Quite recently, I took a missions trip to Africa, to Malawi. I came so close to getting in a downright physical fist-to-fist fight with a gentleman sitting across the aisle from me on the plane, because I'm sitting there. We're about to, you know, it's before takeoff. So I'm sending Amy like a last-minute email as I board a plane, right? And this guy out of nowhere goes, "Turn your phone off."
Because you're not even—you don't even have to do that now.
I know.
He's
and
wrong.
I kind of looked at him and I went, "Excuse me, sir, but this is actually an important email, and the door's not even shut." He looked at me and he goes, "Turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off.
Oh my
turn
goodness.
It off.
Oh
turn
my
it off.
Goodness.
Turn it off." He said it like 20 times. I almost had a heart attack. But guess what I did? Instead of punching him in the face, which would have thrown me in jail, I literally, in that moment, I said, why is this guy, why I'm getting so angry? What do you think I felt?
All right, so there's where we're going, because
wow.
that's a hard thing to do.
In
help
the
us to understand how do we really accomplish that in that moment. Because, yeah, I'm wanting to punch the guy now, too. Which
Give
seat
me
was
his
he
fingers. In? I want to bend them back.
This just got really
me
aggressive.
Me and Susie, we got your back here.
It got super aggressive.
This is Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. Michael Smalley here to give wise advice, and we're here to debunk it. I guess that's what we're doing. But we're going to talk about what do you do in the heat of the moment. You know, your emotions get stirred up. What do you do? How are you supposed to think? Michael will give us some skills for dealing with conflict when we come back. so much for tuning in today. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. We're blessed to be joined by Greg's brother, Michael Smalley. He's counselor, author, speaker, talking about the Marriage ER, an intensive two-day program of helping save marriages that are almost on life support. And you were telling a story before the break, Michael, that just had us kind of stirred up. You're on the plane. You're ready to go on a mission trip, so you're sending your wife a last-minute email on the phone. The plane door's not even shut yet, and the man across the aisle tells you to turn off your phone. Take it from there, because this does apply to, we have these moments where we get so stirred up that we want to act out. So take it from there.
Well, and I'll be honest, the benefit I have is obviously these intensives that we do and all the training that I've done and this stuff, you know, you hopefully we try to learn it and apply it in our own lives. I mean, I do. Greg doesn't always apply these things to his own life.
Just do as I say.
Yeah, not as you do. And so I'm telling you, in that moment, what I have learned, and you do this with your spouse as well, and this is utterly critical when it comes to conflict management and actually allowing conflict to draw you closer together as opposed to tearing you apart, which is possible, is in that moment when I really, because obviously, like any normal person, the emotions were welling up and I was starting to sweat. My hands were sweaty and I started looking for a shank, you know, somewhere on the plane.
Okay, let's just pause here, because if someone just tuned in, we just got to paint the picture. It wasn't just a guy telling you to turn your phone off. You said, excuse me, sir, this is a really important email. And like 20 times in a row, he's like, turn it off, turn it off. He's almost like in your face. So
he was in my space, actually.
Wait.
He leaned across the aisle. No, he was a frail.
Could you have taken him?
You all would have destroyed him. Actually, one of the thoughts that wouldn't have been as healthy as I wanted to go, where exactly are you going with this right now? Like, how far are you willing to take this? I'm not turning my phone off there.
But
now,
that's exactly what goes on, though, in so many marriages.
No, and that's what went on in my head. And so here's the deal. What I've started to learn and what you can do as well, it's not rocket science, is that when you start recognizing that you're having a negative reaction, I'm getting upset, my feelings are getting hurt, whatever, that's when you have to start asking yourself why. And what I realized very quickly, there were two major emotions flowing through me with this guy literally attacking me verbally. One is I was obviously feeling incredibly controlled. And two, I genuinely was feeling danger. Because, I mean, he was acting like a psychotic person.
You were feeling unsafe.
Yeah, I felt incredibly like danger in the sense of, what is this guy capable of? Because what normal human beings behaves this way, right?
So what did you do? I got to know.
What I did was I called a personal...
He's not allowed on that airline anymore, I'll just tell
no.
you that.
No. What I did is I finished my email, and then I just simply shut the phone down. Because, and this needs to guide all of our interactions with people. And Greg, I love the verse that you start off with every show. You have to believe that, and you have to live that. Do we really honor God, and do we really honor others? And the reality is, when someone especially reacts that horribly, I know immediately this is no longer about me. This is about this guy. And the same rule applies to your spouse. If your spouse treats you inappropriately or harshly or in a very unhealthy
unfair, misperceived, whatever.
If they do that, that immediately tells you there's something going on for them that is totally independent from you.
Okay, so someone is listening going, now, Michael, I could do that too if it's a stranger. You had no relationship with this man. It's easy to put that away. Now, that's very difficult to do with your spouse. So in the middle of an argument like that with your spouse, so your spouse is saying things, you're feeling all the same things,
engaging,
controlled, and
yeah.
How do you, what do you literally do to
easy.
Sort of break out of that moment? Because you had to break that moment on the plane, but is that... Can you really do that inside of a marriage?
Greg, by far, the most powerful thing they're going to hear on this show is that when – just ask yourself this, okay? Those of you driving around listening to this thing, ask yourself, how has it gone when you've engaged with your spouse and they're acting like a maniac? It never goes well. And so if you choose to engage in that, then you know where it's going because you guys have done it dozens of times before. So what you do and what I do in my marriage and what my wife does for me when I'm acting like a maniac is you do a thing that we call a timeout. Hmm. And a timeout, I mean, it sounds so...
You put your spouse in a timeout?
I do. Saying? We have a chair in the corner. No.
That works
so
well.
Like, think more like an athletic timeout, a sporting timeout. So in basketball and football, why do coaches call timeouts? They call timeouts because the game plan has gone off. Things aren't going well. They got to stop the momentum. So they call a timeout so they can regroup.
So you've got to break that cycle, that dance, as you're saying. And so you are responsible for you. So we all have that power, right?
We do. There's nothing that can stop me from doing that.
Hmm. And, you know, one of the impacts of maybe perpetual conflict and handling it wrong is trust gets broken. So when we come back, Michael will talk about how you rebuild trust again. We're so glad you tuned in. Hope you're finding some encouragement here today. This is Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. More with Michael Smalley when we come back. Hey, and if you've got a question or comment about the show, you can send us an email. We can address it on a future show. It's everydayrelationships@focusonthefamily.com. We will be right back. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships. I'm Susie Larson with Dr. Greg Smalley and counselor, author, and founder of the ER for Love Marriage Intensive, Michael Smalley, talking today about bringing healing to marriages in critical condition.
You know, Michael, so before the break, I love what you're saying. That you, in the midst of kind of that heated battle, that conflict, that I can't control my wife, I can't control that other person, but what I can do, though, is sort of interrupt that cycle, call a timeout, and then you're saying become real aware of what's going on. For so many couples, though, that trust has been so broken. So it's moved beyond sort of the normal conflict stuff. And how does that couple really begin to rebuild trust? So, you know, like take within the case of infidelity.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that's a common issue that you deal with. How do they really begin to rebuild trust?
Well, and I feel really this is an important thing for folks to hear is that I know that infidelity is genuinely or generally looked at as that one thing that you know, that if that happens, it's over.
Yeah, and Bible talks about that.
It does. And I do warn people that, you know, the one mistake you really don't want to make is infidelity, because even I'm a pastor as well. As a pastor, it would be hard for me to tell someone they're not allowed to divorce their spouse who cheated on them. However, I want to first to start off by encouraging that it is not the end of the relationship. Remember, it's not the affair that's the problem. The affair was a response to the problem. The affair is coping with what's broken in the relationship, and the reality is you can repair that.
There's always hope.
Well, here's the deal, especially if you're a believer and you believe in Christ and you believe he is who he said he is. He tells us in James to you look forward to trials and tribulation, because God promises over and over and over again in Scripture that whatever junk goes on, he'll turn it into something good. And what I've experienced over for all these years that we've been leading these intensive programs, right? And again, I said earlier, we're in 10 different cities now, and we're growing rapidly because therapists want to learn how to do this program, and couples want to be able to go to it. Okay?
Well, you're seeing an 88% success rate.
Exactly.
So it works. I want to know what you're doing.
And remember, even with that success rate, many of the intensives are with couples who are dealing with the effects of an affair. And that's what I always start off with.
Trust.
Oh, it has.
How do they rebuild that?
Super simple. Okay. One, we have to learn that we're not actually trustworthy. Like, I need to know that. If I went into my marriage expecting that I'm never going to get hurt, nothing bad's going to happen, my spouse is never going to let me down, well, you sort of set yourself up to really be more negatively impacted by whatever it is, an affair, financial problems, whatever. You're setting yourself up for that to be overly disastrous when it doesn't have to be. But when you want to earn trust back, I want to talk to the person who's potentially had the affair. So maybe you're the one who cheated. One, just remember, God loves you, and you're not done, and the evil one is going to want to convince you that you're no good and that you're not salvageable, and all of those things are lies, okay? Because good people do really dumb things. That you need to understand that.
You say that to me all the time.
Well, you do a lot of dumb things. I try to make you feel better
Susie,
about your life.
What I put up with.
There's encouragement in there somewhere.
There is. And so what you do is, if you're that person, okay, the best thing you can give your relationship is, I messed up. I got to be able to validate that. I get it. You're devastated. This is whatever the words your spouse has been using, just repeat those back, however painful it might be for you. But the other thing is, and this is in our book, The Surprising Way to a Stronger Marriage, we have an entire chapter called The $1 Trillion Question. Hmm. And the $1 Trillion question is so valuable. And with our current debt level and all that, trillion seemed like the right word. Hmm. Is that, hey, what can I do to repair this? What can I do to earn your trust back? Hmm. What can I do to make this right? What do you need from me?
What if the spouse, is their heart's closed? They're not going to give any answers. What do you do?
Well, first of all, they probably will, and it'll be aggressive. It'll be mean. It'll be, why don't you die? Why don't you leave? Just divorce me. Get out of here. And what I tell people at that point is the worst thing we can do is panic, because we know we want to save the relationship, but yet I've done something that is causing my wife to say that I'm, or husband, that I want a divorce, and they want to avoid that divorce discussion or even allow, you know, signing a divorce or whatever. What the problem, though, is if your spouse is saying, back off, I don't want to talk to you right now, back off, I need you out of the home, back off, my suggestion would be back off. It doesn't mean you quit, but what I usually coach people to say is, okay, this is not what I'm wanting. I know that you're hurting, and I really, a divorce is not where I want to go. However, if this is what you're needing, or if you're needing me to back out and you need some space and some time to talk, and maybe he or she wants to go to individual counseling, whatever it is they say, as long as it's not illegal or a felony or anti-scriptural, I would honor that, even when it feels counterintuitive. Because, wait, I want to save my marriage, but yet she's telling me or he's telling me I have to get out of the house. I promise you, if you don't validate them, and if you don't honor their boundary, and remember, these are on big hurts, not on little hurts. So if I'm not taking out the trash, I don't get kicked out of the house for that.
Well, we'll see.
Maybe you do, for not shoveling the snow. But on something like the intensity of an affair, if my spouse doesn't want to deal with me right now, I'd better grant that. Hmm. Because think about what you're doing. If you keep going, no, I'm not going to leave the house because I love you. No, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to get divorced. No, I'm not. What are you doing? Mm. Really, all you're doing is establishing and proving the negative beliefs they have about you. You're a jerk. You're controlling. You're manipulative.
And you don't care about their wishes,
and
right?
And guess what? Even if you think in your head that you have good intentions, you don't care about their wishes because you're not honoring that. And so the $1 trillion question, especially when you've caused massive hurt, quite simply, what do you need from me to make this right? And then you go and do that, whatever it is.
That's a great question.
Yes, it is.
You have to be willing to listen.
And to do it.
And then to do it. Well, you talk about saving marriages in 2 days. Susie, I think that we need to get him to save our show in 2 minutes. Mm. Because we've talked about this whole idea of love talk, and yet we don't know what that means.
Yeah.
So, Michael, you up for the challenge? 2 minutes to explain what love
talk
is?
I can do it in a minute and 45.
All right.
You can do it. All right. We look forward to that. So don't go away. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. So blessed to have Michael Smalley with us today. And you heard it. He's going to save a marriage in 2 minutes. He'll give you some very important takeaways. Do not go away. We'll be right back. Joining us today, you're tuned in to Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson, and we're so grateful to have had Michael Smalley on the air with us today. And we've been walking through this whole idea that you can take your marriage off the critical care list. You can save a marriage. It seems like it's about ready to flatline. And Michael, you were talking about this method of communication called love talk, and we don't want to just waste another moment. I'm going to give you a chance to unpack that before we say goodbye today.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the deal. Love talk is a structured way to communicate when you've gotten into conflict. So this isn't necessarily an everyday conversational tool. You use it because what happens is when you're involved in intense conflict, you can't just willy-nilly just do whatever you want and have it no structure, because without structure, that's what causes the chaos, is a lack of structure. And love talk gives you that structure. And quite simply, love talk stands for listen, own, validate, and express. And what that means is that there's actually two roles if you're going to love talk properly. You have the employee role and you have the customer role. And the reason we use that is because you're trying to replicate the exact experience you get when you go through a drive-thru at like a Chick-fil-A or a McDonald's, right? So imagine.
No, I'm hungry.
But I know. I am too. Well, just imagine, though, if you pulled up to that Chick-fil-A and that employee didn't act like an employee but instead acted like a customer when you're trying to be the customer. Are you ever going to get an order? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want the chicken sandwich. Well, I want the chicken wrap.
I want you to have the fries.
I know. It's like, well, wait a minute. And so the reality is you need two different roles, and that's spelled out in love. The employee's job is to listen and validate. Okay, and you listen with your eyes, you listen with your tone of voice, you listen with your body language. You validate by simply allowing your spouse to feel and need whatever it is they're feeling or needing without judging it or having an opinion. And then the customer, your role is to own and express. And the reason we start with own is you're going to have a better conversation with your mate if you started off by going, you know what, I know we got in a big fight last night or this morning or whatever. I want you to know I apologize for my part, right? When I started yelling or when I shut you down or when I stormed out of the room, that wasn't right. And I want you to know I get it and I shouldn't have done that. That sets your spouse up now to hear whatever it is that you need or whatever it is you're feeling. And that's when you get to express. And what's critical is you don't express facts. You should not be gone so long. You shouldn't have the affair. You express your feelings. I felt rejected. I feel worthless. I feel devalued. I feel disrespected. Those are the feelings. And then you share your needs. This is what I need. And that is what will now open up the lines of communication with each other and lead to resolution.
And that's going to rebuild trust, which is such a big part mm-hmm. of this whole process.
Boy, great wisdom. Michael Smalley, thanks so much for joining us today.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
It's a lot of fun. Can't wait till you come back next time. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, if you're not on Facebook and you've not liked our page yet, go to Everyday Relationships Radio and click the like button. We'd love to connect with you there. And if you've got a question or a topic you'd like us to address on a future show, you can email us at everydayrelationships@focusonthefamily.com. Tune in next time. We'll answer those questions that come in from the Everyday Relationships mailbag. We'll meet you back here next time.